Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. So today on Hustle, I'm going to be speaking to Dance Loud. This is an amazing duo consisting of Desiree, who is a drummer, and Kirsten, who is the DJ. This Chicago-based electronic dance duo originated by DJ Kirsten spinning an all-house vinyl music set with a live drummer, Desiree, introducing an energetic fusion of rock, jazz, drums, hip-hop, scratching with high-tempo dance music and video projection. This duo creates a visually unique performance that influences the crowds to dance loud. Woo! Yes, girls, thank you for coming on the podcast. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yes.
Exciting times.
Yeah, it's
creatives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good to catch up with you again. It's such a shame for the people that don't know. We've already done this interview once, but we're redoing it because we love each other so much, basically.
That's exactly it.
I couldn't have said it any better.
Yes.
So you girls, you're based in Chicago. So how are things over in Chicago at the moment for you?
Besides the fact that it's cold and it seems to just revolve the top of my head, the weather, you know, I know it's the small talk top type of topic, but the music here is still pretty important here in this city, which is the best thing about it. Everyone's pretty, up to date with the kabillion subgenres that we have now. I mean, I can't even keep up, but at least Chicago knows. There's more than just techno. There's, you know, there's lots of things that have really, you know, changed through the electronic music scene. And hey, analog scene too. We've got it all.
We just actually went to Chicago's starting to open up. We went to like a club not long ago and saw some local DJs, and you know, and now we're gonna do an event with them sometime soon. We're thinking Pride Month, so. Yeah, that was really exciting.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, we're drinking around people.
Yeah, and people, and it's so fun to watch their social skills have changed, you know? So it's kind of interesting to talk to adults that haven't talked to other adults in a long time.
Yeah.
Could be the same for us. You don't even know.
Yeah, that must be really crazy.
Could be just very.
Definitely.
I'm still waiting for that. So that'll be quite interesting to see what's going on over this side. But please introduce yourselves again, ladies. So how did you get into music? How did you two meet? If you want to start from the beginning, that would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I can go first. I'm Kristen. I'm the DJ. I guess I was the late bloomer between the two of us. I don't know why, but all I grew up with was this nice karaoke machine my parents had. I brought that right up to my room from the downstairs and then just put my tape cassettes in there. And all I did was play Salinas and gosh, a lot of Mariah Carey. I was a princess, you know. And then when I was a teen, I went down to the basement, which had these, I made a new bedroom there. You know, every kid moves down to the basement when they need more space.
Yeah.
And then the thing about music and the basement was that they had these giant mirrors that were floor to ceiling, wall to wall. Because it was the, a whole wall of closets. So it was the closet sliding door. And then I had Christmas lights that strobed in 8 different settings. So I just had my own club down there. You know, and my dancing, I memorized all of the moves from NSYNC and,
God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what else are you to do? I mean, this is like the start of video cameras. So I shot music videos. You know, my friends, they participated. I'm not sure if they wanted to, but we did it. You know, I made movies. I had a movie called Bloody Cyborg. Yeah. So all sorts of adventures, technology, and things happening in my mama's basement. Lovely. Over here in Chicago.
Didn't you wire surround sound in your bedroom club?
Yeah, I did lots of wiring in my basement. My dad found out that I took a gumball machine and created a lamp out of it. So I guess it's not good because I'm plugging in 12 volts straight from the wall and then opening it up bare copper and, you know, and I guess the gumballs, I mean, that's fine. It's plastic. Except for the frame of the gum. That's fine. I probably grounded it. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't at all.
It's like your inner creative coming out through the gumball machine. And luckily, not killing you and your family.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, we should hook up synthesizers to like lamps. And you know that thing where you touch that ball and it...
Oh, yeah. Your hair all goes like...
There must be somebody that has hooked that up to a synthesizer and it works as you perform with music. No?
Maybe. Let's get you that shit.
Okay. All right.
We could really look like witches then. Except,
you know, now that we're trying to, you know, put some YouTube content as this is the future now. And actually, it's the past. We're a little late on the game.
we want to, like get into, like, Kristen's really good at rewiring stuff. We want to get into microphone modding. And, you know, that's a ton of fun.
It's just because I'm cheap. So I'd just rather mod a microphone, spend $100 to $300 to get a $1,000 value. Hey.
It's all about good value. Good value.
First, I'm going to start figuring out, you know, brands of transformers. Like, hey, you got that thing. I don't know any of them.
You got that one resistor that was defected.
I'll remember the prices first before the name. Well, you get some good ones for $100. Those are the expensive ones.
Oh, okay.
So Desiree, how did you get into music? Like, what's your background?
My parents were really big into going to concerts and all that. And so when I was like in second grade, I loved AC/DC and I started playing. So I begged my mom for guitar. And so I started playing guitar then. And then when I was about in sixth grade, I really got into playing guitar. And when I was in fifth grade, I started playing drums in school. And so I started in bands, like metal bands, when I was like metal alternative rock bands. And then I played drums all throughout school and then into college. And then I continued to play in, like, what would you consider behind the stars? It was kind of like indie.
It was like Radiohead had a baby with Coldplay.
Yeah. So then kind of from there, you know, when I got out of junior college, I came to Columbia College Chicago, which is an art school up here, for the music business program. And I met Kristen in a club and she was breakdancing in front of me. You know, those mirrors in her bedroom served her well because it really caught my attention. And
it was my mating call.
Yeah. And
I had a crush on her. So I was like, I'll just
dance it away.
Yep.
And, you know, so 13 years later, we're still together and we
14. Oh, I'm rounding up. Sorry.
Yeah. In January. And so we started performing together when we first started dating. You know, when I was in college, I went for music business. So I'm like, okay, well, where's the money in music? Mm. Let's figure this one out.
It's
because
like a treasure hunt.
That's the tricky part. You know, it's like, where's the end of the rainbow at? You know? And so we started putting together art events where we had our friends that would, you know, paint live with us and dancers and culinary arts and having film screenings early in the night. And I was trying, you know, we just were trying to figure out ways of, as artists, how are we all going to make money? And here's a way that we could do it live. And so Kristen and I performing kind of happened by accident. I was playing with the band after her set and I jumped up on her set to warm up on the drums. It was midnight, you know, when the club was at its most packed and we saw how the audience reacted and people just were dancing well. And I was like, okay, there's definitely something with this. So we're going to have to keep going with this. And so for years we started performing together in 2008. And then we got a tour bus in 2012 and we toured, you know, coast to coast and up into Canada. And we did that all on one song.
Yeah. I guess with the help of just being a DJ, I mean, you could send your press kit with that one song for 4 years, apparently, and people will like it continuously and, you know, base your gig on that. But it really does help that a lot of the clubs here, you know, they play a lot of our matching music where we happen to chance upon, like you know, Oz, I think, in New Orleans was really fun. And there's just a lot of good clubs here in the U.S., I guess. Mm. It's mostly the southern. We tried to stick around just because of the hospitality there. And the south part of the states is so different.
The major cities, you know, we'd found, it's the one thing, like when it comes to booking, I think it's always good to talk about booking because it's just something no one talks about. And I talked to someone the other day and he told me what he does, which is very different than what we do. And it's just really interesting is when we first started touring, we were looking into like clubs and venues, the venues in major cities, especially like LA and New York. You know, in New York,
it's pay to play.
It's New York. You're just really not going to make any much money because the major cities, they have the talent. They need the people. The smaller cities and smaller towns, they have the people. They need the talent. Mm. So we would always really get our tours funded through small towns to make it to these bigger cities to play, you know, for not even the largest, you know, like clubs.
Yeah, those clubs are great for the local bands. You know, you can easily pack 100 to 300 people, you know, on the middle of the top headliner. But the touring bands, it just makes it so difficult. So then you just end up, you know, I mean, that's how it always is. It balances out with the touring band comes and opens up and so on. But even if you do bring people, it's still like $0 compared to anything else that has their own regulars, you know? Yeah. And that's why this time around, we're just, you know what, let's just pop out a vinyl. And I think it just means a lot more to us to sell a physical product rather than to try and come somewhere continuously that's in a long distance. And it makes it really difficult. Even with the internet, I mean, it almost feels like, hey, let's go back to the 90s where we could just throw a party by putting a piece of paper on a telephone pole. And then all of a sudden 300 people show up, you know, it's like the internet is a great advantage, but a great disadvantage at the same time. And we're generations that lived through both. Well, I didn't live through that cool part in the 90s. I was still too young, but I watched many VHSs about it.
It's funny though, because I think actually there's four kind of revenue streams to being an artist, and if you look at yourself as a bit of a table, you kind of need all four legs to be on the ground and working at once for you to actually make money. One is through producing music, two is through touring, three is through merchandise, and the fourth one I think is just through like social media and branding and all that type of stuff. So
and you know, if you're lucky to get a sync.
Yeah.
That's what we're pulling for.
Yeah. So you really have to kind of like look at all of those avenues as an artist. Now it's not just about going out and getting a gig, like you're saying, and, you know, sticking to like going to one venue, because it's your travel time. It's not just the time you get paid for there. It's the time you have to go there, set up, set down, come back. And it's energy wise is not always the best use of your time sometimes.
Yeah, so you got a lot to compete now. Now, I mean, the population has really grown since, you know, even a year ago. Hey, I mean, imagine the 90s, how much you're competing with. I mean, they say 40 to 60,000 uploads to Spotify every day. And so now you have to do everything. You have to do your own booking. You have to do your own this. You have to, there's no more like, I'm only the songwriter. I mean, you could get away with it unless you're very lucky and talented at the same time, but you do need the whole formula. You need to have the merchandise, you know, for a thing.
It's completely crazy. I was chatting to a friend of mine, Eileen from the Unicorn Mothership on Clubhouse recently. So Clubhouse is a new thing. I dipped my toe into that last week and I was like, what do I even do? Like,
But
feels weird, right? Yeah.
It was very strange. Actually, I was speaking to a load of we were talking about should the music speak for itself? And funnily enough, there are loads of rappers from the USA on there. I think because of the time zone and stuff. And we were like, you know, back in the day, the music used to be able to speak for itself. Whereas now, you know, the business and marketing, the branding, the merchandising, the tour, the everything that whole shebang is you, and now that has to be put forward as well as your music.
So that shebang has to bust through all the noise. It's really hard.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was on Instagram one day and one of those sponsored ad popped up, and it was really like it was too real, saying, you know, is it really about the music? Because it's not. Festivals aren't selling your music. They're selling your people. They're selling your marketing tactics.
Yeah. I mean, your brand. They're not even spinning out there.
And they'd said, you know, look at Top 40. Is it really the music that's selling? You know, is it about the music? And I notice it. I'll see really talented musicians on Instagram, 400 followers. Yep. They just, they haven't, there's, it's really hard to figure out how to find your tribe.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even us, we forgot about the music while doing music right before our album. We kept trucking along, literally trucking along, like, yeah, man, this one song's great. Let's go on another tour.
Yeah. We just like to travel and meet people. Yeah. And
like, let's get press kits. That song's doing us great. Fifth tour.
Yeah. You
know, it's like we forgot to make music.
It's so difficult now, isn't it? Doing absolutely everything. It is a full-time job. And for the people that already have a full-time job, as well as doing music as a passion and trying to progress their career, it's a lot. It's a lot for somebody to have on their plate altogether. It's very, very stressful.
With money too. It's like you don't know if this new thing is, everyone's talking about this service and you go for it and you try it and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or something does happen and then you keep putting more money into it. You know, and then it's almost like a slot machine, like at the casino, like, oh, you know, I'm going to try this. Like, for example, playlisting is kind of similar to that. I've just, you know, playlisting is just kind of overdone at this point now, in my opinion. But unless you're paying, you know, another thing, like a third part, like Chartmetrics to really pay attention to it and do your curations or curate the curators, if you really want to call it. It's kind of like a full-time job almost. And then you end up having to pay for it. And you don't even know if it's real. It's most likely fake. And it's another learning branch, you know.
Let's talk about your tour, your recent tour. Let's talk about your new music. Let's start by, how did you organize your tour?
this last tour was the most different, where it was completely not organized at all.
Brilliant.
Well, no, I mean, okay, so like looking back, you know, when we first started touring in 2012, I would typically give myself about 6 months to book the tour.
Yeah.
And then
build yourself 6 months of stress.
Yeah. Because at first I just like, I wasn't really quite sure what I was doing, you know, and making like the electronic press kit and, you know, and kind of like,
you know what she was doing. What she talking about? You did great press kits. She did even better too, because she's a bartender, so she can call up these managers and know what time.
Okay, so that's where it set in. Yeah. I really started to think about like, wait a minute, I'm dealing with the bar scene. I've worked in the bar scene. Okay, when is downtime? 4 o'clock. You know, this is the time to call. Don't call in the middle of dinner time, in the dinner rush.
Time.
Don't call at the end of the shift, because there's more of a chance they've started drinking. So get them early, call 4 or 5 o'clock, keep calling.
I'll call for the email. First you call to figure out the email.
So I email first. Mm-hmm. And then when I call, I'll say, hey, you know, I sent you an email. I'm not sure if you got it. I'll keep calling, you know, and making sure to get whoever I need to on the phone. And I've always noticed that's what works the most. So I get them on the phone. A lot of times, 95% of the times, it's a verbal agreement. And it always makes me nervous. So I always opt in for, hey, if you want to create a Facebook event, you know, we'll share it. We'll blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Another thing I do is I send posters to wherever we're playing. And that's my weird way of confirming our gig.
Yeah.
Here, hang this up around your place. You know, we're coming, you know, because a lot of things, especially, you know, with like the boomers and stuff, it's all verbal. So that's kind of
with alcohol,
my way of, you know, making sure that, you know, it's all good, and it helps promote the show. You know, we'd found
posters really worked this last tour. Really worked.
It really did. Like we were on our way. We always show up to a city the night in advance, just in case we have some type of like car trouble or something. The one time we don't,
out of hundreds of times,
the one time we don't, we're 2 hours away from our gig. Our gig starts in 4 hours, with loading time, everything.
And the engine light is flashing, not just on.
And as we're accelerating, the bus is shaking. And so we stop into an auto zone. I try to call a mechanic. It's like 4 o'clock on a Saturday. Every place is closed. We go in, we get
freaking
their computer
out inside.
We plug it into the bus. We see that there was a misfire on the 7th cylinder. This is our first time having a gas bus. Our old bus was diesel, so we've never dealt with spark plugs before.
Okay.
So here we're like Googling and the AutoZone guys kind of verbally telling us what to do. We change the spark plug in the coil. And
you can find where your spark plug is pretty easily in a normal engine. Like try putting it in a Ford bus. It's like, oh, okay. It's not in the front of the hood. It's in the doghouse. Like, oh yeah, I forgot that existed.
So you can actually get to it from the inside of the bus.
Wow.
Kristen, I'm over there looking for spark plugs. Like, where you at, Sparky?
Yeah,
I can't find it.
And we're in Florida. It's 90 degree weather. I mean, we're sweating profusely and I mean, it's scary. And he's like, careful with screwing it in. Ford's known to having bad threads, you know,
you could strip it easily. I'm like, oh, cool. I can't even see.
So we get it in. We get, you know, we're like, all right, we get there. Mm-hmm. And now we're in this weird little town that was kind of an old developed town that the roads are super small. We have this big hoopty bus coming in. We're now really realizing we're playing like in the middle of this plaza and we're like, where are we going to load?
I couldn't find it because it's a suite number. I'm like, all right. It's not off the street. It's like, you got to go into the plaza and then find it.
So we park, we start to load. And here's where the posters come into play as this guy's like, the band's here. It's the band. The whole town is like,
I'm blocking the road, by the way. I did not find a parking spot. Did not find one whatsoever. Well, we're going to have to block the road.
And just load.
You're like, we're the band. Like, just wait.
It was a side street, so.
Yeah, so all of a sudden he's like, can I lend you a hand? I'm a musician too. I play here too.
Yes.
Southern hospitality. If you come to the United States and play in the South.
He just had to go with what he was saying was truthful.
And he was so nice. He ended up like moving his vehicle, he was like, you know, your bus will actually fit right over here.
I mean, anyone can come to us and say that they're a musician at that place and just run.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So he was super helpful and really like we got started 2 minutes after our start time set. And
we were exactly on time.
We were.
I just happened to look at my watch 2 minutes in.
Yeah. And so we were like, oh, you know, if it wasn't for this person, just random acts of kindness, you know, mm-hmm. we ended up having a really great show. And
the spark plug was fine.
Yeah. And it was so exciting. Even after our show, everyone like came up, people were buying our merch and like, when are you coming back? And then we saw it was like, people are dying for live music. Like this feels so good.
And then it was even powerful because I forgot to plug in one thing. And then the minute it was plugged in, it like, wow, it like made the audience even love us even more. It was because we've been playing with her small, tiny kick drum that is much easier to travel with now. Mm-hmm. But then we hooked it up to a MIDI trigger. So it hooks up. It does an acoustic sound and electric hit of a kick from the drum pads at the same time.
Wow.
So then I've noticed no one is doing that where it's like both. You know, but yeah, I think it's like a perfect, when you plug it in, it was just,
yeah. It's nice. Yeah. A lot of times when you mic up a kick drum, you know, even the acoustics of the place will have like its own. Right.
Try being a DJ running around bassy clubs with a drummer. It's really hard.
Yeah. So this is where it's nice that we don't have to deal with feedback. Nothing that we just put this Aquarian MIDI trigger on the batter head of the drum. So every time it's hit, it triggers.
Right.
And it has a big room sound. It's a sound I'm really familiar hearing when playing live.
Promoters, when you have a club, a typical club setup, you know, mono setup and giant subs everywhere. And, you know, there's a reason why Pioneer has that booth knob for your volume and a separate monitor. I mean, because there's going to be a delay in a club. And that's what we did start to experience if we're bringing around an analog kit that's not built for a nightclub. It's only built for, you know, a stage with the bands. There is a delay. So it's like we've had to really reform our sets on the fly during gigs while delays are happening.
Wow. Talk about having to think on your feet. But I think I love situations like that because I think it just kind of, it's almost like a little bit of adrenaline. You get it sorted and then you're like,
yeah. So how this worked was, it was January. We're still in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. Florida, and as I was seeing, Florida and Arizona were the only two states that were warm enough to have outdoor spacious gigs.
Nice.
So as I started to look into it, I'd seen friends were performing only in those two states. You know, I was like, you know, we're only like 20 hours from Florida. You know, so we start booking the gig. Yeah. And by chance, we end up getting our bus like 3 days prior to us leaving. So we got out the seats, we threw a bed in the back. and we already had all the stuff from our old bus. So we threw our fridge in and, you know, our camping toilet, and we're like, all right, we're ready to go. So when it came to booking,
we had some help from a friend that, I guess likes the album, and he's a booker. He books a few people, and he already had a whole tour for his, violinist, Dixon's Violin. So that's the artist that we opened up for.
So he actually had a really interesting concept that when he was telling me about it,
post-pandemic concept.
When he was telling me about it, I was like, I can't believe this works. So how he did it was, a lot of times when we go on tour, we pull for guarantees. He approached it was, he would go to wineries and breweries and he would say, all right, I have this artist. We're going to come in. None of your regular people are going to get charged a door cover. We're not going to charge door cover of the day of, and you don't have to pay the artist. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to put a Facebook page, and I'm going to put $50 into that Facebook page advertising. I'm going to put it all on Eventbrite. So he's now charging $20 a ticket to people that would have never come to the place.
Because Eventbrite, you know, your stocks are now up.
That's really clever.
So he started selling shows that way. Mm-hmm. And he used it all through Facebook advertising. And so he was like, hey, do you want to come and, you know, play, you know, before Dixon, you know, two shows, 45 minutes. We're like, yeah. And that was literally what we needed to cover our gas. We had two shows lined up, and then we just needed just a little bit more to cover our gas. That's usually how we never come into like a big surplus with our tours. Our tours just pay for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have the bigger gas guzzler. A lot of people have sprinters that are not as much gas guzzlers, but I mean, a sprinter's like 20 to 60 G's, and a Ford is like 10 G's. So,
yeah.
You know, you end up paying for it in the same sort of way, just with more space in a Ford.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's really amazing. So how many gigs did you do in total on your last tour?
Four. Yeah, it was very short. You know, we spent like a whole week off. We didn't really want to work the entire time, and we just went hiking.
Went down to Key West, was able to fully check out Miami for a couple days, and pretty much just rode the coast of the entire Florida, you know, through the whole thing. And it was really great because I was thinking, we had a point where we had a week off, and I was like, all right, well, we could book Miami. And now we have a dog, you know, we're dog moms. And we're like, well, if I book a weekend in Miami, then we're going to have to put our dog in boarding for 3 weeks. And it'd be like $600. So we're like, well, if we just have a week off, you know, we could work out boarding and stuff when we're on the road and border, you know, while, you know, we're playing. And so we set up like AC in our bus and had it all super comfortable for her, and got this like really cute dog crate, and she like
ate it.
She ate it. It was
a foldable one.
It was full in cloth. So she ended up having to come and like sit on the stage with us for each show. And I think
it was fine. It was all outdoor and there's other dogs.
It was kind of its own aesthetic. Like people dug it.
Have you ever noticed the typical brewery stereotype is like a guy with a flat bill hat and a dog?
And a dog.
So finally, like, you know, there was other dogs. So she was like up on the stage on one of the show, and she was like making these sounds like, whoa, like there's a dog over there. So I just put the mic right up to her. I was like, this is our lead singer.
If you know Florida, it's kind of the vibe with it, because there was also another band who brought their dog on stage.
Amazing. Like dogs on tour.
Dogs on tour. You know, Sublime used to do that. So
I even saw a thing of Pink Floyd, and they had a howling dog on stage with them once. Mm-hmm. And
hey, Mercury, you want to come on up?
Yeah, let's see the dog. I run a festival stage in the UK, a little festival called Wilkstock. And one year I had nobody to look after my two dogs. I've got a husky and a cocker spaniel. And I was going over in my van from here to the UK. I was doing a big tour. And I was like, look, if you want me to work for you this year, I'm going to have to bring the dogs. And they're like, oh, it's not a dog friendly festival. And I was like, they'll stay in the artist, you know, staff area, no problem. Which is all very well until my husky was a bit like going for a wander. And then I've got people saying, is that your dog by the main stage? I was like, yes. Fuck. Like I'm picking him up. Then he's like just hanging out. Like, and people are like, oh, I was taking photos and selfies with him.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. dogs are the best icebreaker too. You know, honestly, it just, it gives you an excuse to talk to people, and and especially in the music, you know,
it takes away that weather talk.
Yeah. It's much more fun dog chat.
Like, yeah. Oh, totally.
And people, outside.
And if people don't like your dog, then, you know, that's probably people you should stay away from anyway.
Yeah. They're not friends.
Yeah. We noticed there was like a couple times where we were out to eat while we're down there, and like, you know, I don't, she can read people's intention. And there was like a couple people she was creeped out by and just was going nuts, barking at them. And it's like,
wow,
she doesn't act this way around everyone. And then this woman down, we're eating and, you know, down the way, and she was like, yeah, that guy was creepy. Did you feel that? And I was like, I wasn't even paying attention, but our dog knew and was like, get away from my humans.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They pick up on vibes, don't they? 100%. Like, yeah, my husky's really chilled. So we're dog chat now. He's really chilled. But if there's a guy that he doesn't know or somebody he hasn't met, there's a man, he is literally by my side. Like, he won't go anywhere. He's just like, you know, in protective mode. Not that he's all growly or anything like that. He's just like quietly just hanging out by me, making sure everything's tickety-boo. Whereas my Cocker Spaniel is just off. She doesn't care. If you've got a ball or a stick, she loves you. She doesn't care who you are. It's so funny. Hello. Oh, is it poodle? Poodle?
Yeah.
Oh, we found her at a rescue. Mm-hmm. That is some epic hair right about there.
Yeah, she's got a mohawk.
What's her name?
Mercury, like the planet. We got her during a Mercury retrograde. Then we realized that she responds to Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
It was an inside joke because she always poses and centers herself like she just
like now.
Photoshop. Yeah.
No, I feel like I might try and take a picture. Hang on 2 seconds while we're on here.
Oh yeah,
give you and your dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so funny. So ladies, what's going on music wise with you? What's happening? You've got new album, new single, new, what's the crack?
So we have a bunch of remixes coming out from folks all over the world. So our song, we let folks just either hit us up or I think I hit up some dudes here in Chicago because I've followed their label for quite some time since I was a young intern, and they're coming out with a Chicago version of Shady Beach, one of our songs. And I'm super excited about that. I try to even implement more Chicago vibes into our music. And nice. I don't think I made it Chicago enough, but so that's really great that this remix is coming out from Groove Foundation Recordings. Mm-hmm. And then the London remix, we're also really excited about. And the label is called Sick Tone. Super friendly folks.
I know
Sick
Tone. I know them. A friend of mine, a very close mate of mine, she's got a couple of releases on their album. Yeah, Sick Tone.
Is she Just Kid? That's the...
Just the Kid?
No. It's, I think her name's Saya. Saya on Sick Tone.
Okay. That's one of the other... Yeah, label mates. Yeah. So it's got a really okay, so cause she's doing with Sick Tone. This is Jess with Sick Tone. She's doing a the Hollow remix, and Hollow is really it's not sad, it's more kind dark. Of like an emotional and dark, and
yeah, I remember
it could fall into a depression a little bit, depends on where your mind is, but she made the remix super happy. So
okay,
it's like easier for me to even spin. You know, at the club, in which I'm much more excited to spin her remix than our own, because our version, it's like, all right, I'm gonna go and in a dark hole and cry.
Yeah, she did kind of an Afro house with it, and we loved it so much that we were like, please give us a version without vocals so we can perform it live.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So when is that coming? Is that out now? Are these remixes already out?
I'm going to write up the press release today and kind of figure out when they want to release it and kind of make sure we get some press with it to help promote it. You know, the song came out so good. We want to make sure to promote it really well. And so that's on my to-do list today.
Lovely.
And
there's more some did come out. There's a remix. It just so happened one from Orlando, Florida. It was not in relation with our recent Florida tour, but we just happened to meet someone through that same promoter. And she is from Orlando, and she also did a Hollow remix, kind of like a bassier vibe to it. And we had another one remix, Hear Me Out. And he's from St. Louis, which is where Desiree is from. Mm-hmm. And it totally has a St. Louis sound. It really does. It's very the epiphany of what St. Louis sounds like.
Yeah.
And there's another one coming out in from Toronto. Heat score.
And he's got a total Toronto sound. It's really interesting
hearing like, the remixes sort of our songs and, you know, in each city. So a little backstory of the album. The album, the first song, Hollow, came out March 13th, and that was when the lockdown happened.
Yeah.
And we did a waterfall release, you know, and with the rest of the album, you know, one song coming out per month, the rest of the album coming out in June. And it was in the midst of everything. So finally, you know, like 9 months later, we were able to get on the road and kind of promote it. And it's been really well received, and it's nice being on the road because we could just stop into record stores and, hey, you want to carry our vinyl, you know, it means something to us. And
yeah,
our record store owners are really receptive and they're always down to help an artist. And there was even a place in Cincinnati that they carried when our vinyl sold, you know, we stopped in there on our way home and they were like, oh, we only take a dollar, you know, here's all the sales. It was like, wow.
Wow.
You
know,
I don't know how they're still in business. They're giving people, they're giving themselves a dollar. Like, I don't, it's just like a pat on the back.
Yeah. They must be selling a shitload of vinyl.
Right?
Basically.
Yeah.
They must be getting a ton of classics sold or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're people's records in Cincinnati. If you're ever there, they're just really good people in there.
Yeah. The owner, it's just the best thing about record stores. Like, usually the owner is back behind the cashier and you can actually vibe with the owner and then you can vibe with their store and then you can totally tell by their stock. Yeah. And there's some of the very few businesses that still have diehard, non burnt out folks running the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so pure like good souls, right? I love a vinyl shop. I mean, I haven't been in one for years, and my one back home in Bedford got shut down just because obviously lack of money and stuff. But yeah, ever get to go in a vinyl shop when I'm out somewhere else, I'm like, wow, you spend hours, like,
yeah.
And we haven't even gotten really into researching physical distribution with their vinyl. I mean, this is just us, just slowly. I mean, we're just doing it ourselves, just because. Yeah. Like, oh man, I'm so sick of Googling everything.
You know, so one thing that was pretty cool what we did on this past tour is we stopped into Asheville, North Carolina, and we stopped into the Moog Museum and the Moog Factory. And when we were there and we were checking out the new Moog 1 16 voice, $8,500 amazing synthesizer, it was like, it's like playing it, every preset sounded so good. It was just like, oh my gosh, if we ever do a big score, this is going to be what we use.
I'm at Korea.
Yeah, we're gonna get. Yeah,
you know, it was beautiful, and so we were there, and we were asking, you know, do you have any recommendations of local record stores that maybe we could drop off our vinyl to? The places they gave us totally accepted our vinyl in, and one of the places, it was really cool. There, I think they recently opened their cafe, a bar, a vinyl shop, and a vinyl pressing plant, and a recording studio upstairs. So when I went in and talked to him, and I found that, you know, the vinyl just kind of sold itself. When I described what it was and how it was created, that this is 180 gram. The person that masters, Tom York, he mastered it out of London. They do this special half cutting where they put the vinyl in half speed when they cut the lacquer to make sure every little sound gets in the groove. And we did a little holographic cover. And I found that, like, when I just tell them what it's about and that we created every sound on it and we were really into field recordings and the sounds of crickets and cicadas, we got all those, it just kind of sells itself.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, we are down for this. And he goes, let's keep in touch. When everything's done, we're wanting to have bands come in. We record them live. All the people will pre-buy the live vinyl that we're going to press from that night. And we were like, yes.
Oh, yes.
How cool would that be to have a live performance on vinyl?
Better not screw up.
That was the pressure is on.
Right? Yep. You just had to go there, right? Yeah. Now I'm going to get all pitchy.
Because a lot of the times I'm playing her parts that she did. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah. Great. Oh man, that would be amazing. That's like the ultimate kind of venue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a venue on crack. It really is. Yeah.
So I was looking into, I see that the Amsterdam dance event is going to go on this year.
Yeah, I heard. I mean, it was online. Was it what? It was off last year and then it was going to be online and now it's back on. And I think, is it what, like the 13th of October?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah. That's cool. Because I've got a, I've got my all female music production and wellness retreat happening. Little plug, on the 3rd of October until the 8th of October, and then most of the girls that are on that are then going to go either fly back and then fly to Amsterdam for that as well, for ADE.
Where's your retreat?
Oh, well, it was going to be here, but then COVID was a complete fun sponge. It was going to be in France, but I rebranded it and moved it to Croatia.
So, oh, wow. I've seen the scene there.
They have some big festivals there.
Yeah, there are. And so, but in October is a bit more of a downtime. So it's near Split. And it's basically, I've booked this amazing villa. It's got a pool that overlooks the sea, looks over like the Hvar Islands. And it's just... it's just banging. Basically, I honestly can't wait to go myself. And then hopefully I'll be able to go to ADE afterwards. But yeah.
Yeah, man, I wish we could just bring our bus on a barge. Man.
Honestly, if I could like zap you girls over to me, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Next year.
Yeah, we've been kind of trying to
figuring it out.
Yeah. And get some stuff booked overseas. And we've got some friends that live in, you know, various places from like, you know, France and Germany and, you know, and it was like, well, you know, let's figure it out. The only thing is like, I feel like, booking outside of the United States, we're the typical dumb Americans that like, I know I took French in high school. I know very little. Kristen can speak Spanish.
Oh, I over budgeted like, how much I needed to pay for taxes. So maybe we can go.
Yeah. So we're kind of fingers crossed that the only thing that makes me a little nervous will be like the language barrier, you know, especially when booking. Yeah.
I think that, well, the key is, I mean, it's all about Google Translate for that, for one. But also a lot of people do speak English, which is, especially like venues, and it depends where you're going. So your particular sound might work better somewhere where it's a bit more touristy. So a little more kind of like multilingual, multinational. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're coming to Europe, you need to hit me up.
Yeah, when you book over there, do you do a lot of things in email? I know in our last conversation, you talked about kind of like what we do too, is like when we go on vacation, we're constantly meeting people and trying to set up future gigs.
Yeah.
Do you book a lot through email or is it mostly verbal?
Yeah. Philippines is all verbal, no email.
Let me get my charger quickly before my laptop dies.
Yeah.
Luckily I don't have to go very far being in a caravan.
You're in a van?
Caravan. Yeah. Caravan of dreams, baby.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm actually in the spare room / pantry. For anybody that's interested, you can make any space work. I'm in my studio that my other half made me. So I've got my KRKs, my mixing desk, the pantry.
So really quick, I talked to this DJ the other day and he was talking about how he's played in other countries in Fiji and stuff. And I was trying to pick his mind. I'm like, okay, well, how do you do this? And I can kind of tell he was like apprehensive and wanting to tell me. And I just kept poking him like, no, I want to know. Like, I'll tell you my booking process. You let me know. And so what he does is with Fiji, for example, he said he booked his flight. He booked his hotel. He contacted him and said, hey, I want to spin here. Here is what my music sounds like. And I could now, this is why he didn't want to tell me. He goes, I tell him I'll play for free the first time. Maybe have me back in the future. I'm already coming. I'm already coming, you know? And so
that's interesting.
That's where it was like, oh, okay. So you're kind of playing for free, but you're already going. You're already on vacation. There's no harm in that, you know? But I could see now why he was a
different type of investment.
Honestly, I think people are so funny about booking. They're also really funny about talking about money, which I don't think I don't know if it's like a British thing or if it's like just the thing in general. But like, oh, don't talk about, you know, what the money's going to be. But no, for the booking, I'm very much the same as you. So I'm a great believer in business cards. Oh, my God. Love a business card. So I will, if I can, go to a venue, try to connect with the manager, the bar manager, the club manager, whoever, give them my business card, get their email address, and then I'll go away. If they haven't got time to talk, which they might not do, I will go away, write them an email, and then I'll go back in to see whether they've got it, if it's local, or I'll get on the phone and I'll chase them up like you. I've sent you an email, just wanted to make sure you got it, or I might send a second email. But generally, I try to have a face-to-face conversation. basically just sell my dream. Who am I? What am I doing? What am I about? What I can bring to the party. I, again, like you guys, I do my own posters. I do my own Facebook event page just so I can make sure that it's pretty much confirmed. Because also, if you don't have anything like that, if you have a bit more of a verbal agreement, double booking can happen, mistakes happen, and then you've got to either decide whether you're going to play with somebody, whether they want to play with you, or who gets the money.
That's what happened to us in Buffalo. We got double booked with burlesque dancers. So it was the best double booking. Yeah. We just performed together.
Yeah. I know, I'm all about sharing, because actually, do you know what? I mean, you've gone there anyway. They've gone there anyway. And as long as, you know, everybody's happy with the split of the money, that's cool. But it's not always the case, is it?
For all of the shows, hey.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we've done is very similar. It's like sometimes, you know, like you don't even have to ask for who's the bar manager. You can just kind of tell if you open your eyes. We found the last person who booked a lot of the Florida gigs for the violinists. I mean, you can sniff out who the promoter is. They have a vibe.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And they also dress differently.
They're dressed very well. They're standing there. They have short convos with lots of people.
They're typically not drinking.
They're usually holding a drink, not drinking it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain vibe where you could sniff them out. That's for sure.
Same way you can sniff out a drummer and who's the vocalist, who's the bass player, everything.
Who's the DJ? Who's the drummer?
Right. Totally.
Oh, it's so funny. But I definitely think, you know, being proactive and actually, you know, I mean, you've got to be thick skinned, and sometimes you're not going to be the best fit for a particular bar or particular club, and they're looking for somebody different. But once you're face to face with somebody and you've made a connection and you've networked, then when you do email and you do call back, they'll remember you. It really is quite simple, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah, and the same. What I'd found was I went to Midam back in, I think, 2008 in cons, and you know, when I was down there, I noticed that a lot of my arrogant classmates, you know, were just like, where's the bathroom? And I could tell that people there were like, don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I was like, you know, at least learn in their language, you know, saying like, I'm sorry, I'm American. Like, I don't speak very much French. And I told him, I was like, you know, it's la toilette. It's really not that different. You know, and just show respect. And people are a lot more reciprocal. And so that's where kind of learning that firsthand when I was there, that's where I was kind of like wondering how the emails would work, you know, if, you know, starting it off maybe in their language and saying, you know, I'm sorry, I don't speak this well. Do you, you know, where I'm kind of like trying to figure out, because, you know, I talked to friends in Spain and stuff, and they're saying, you know, in America, like our top three genres are number one right now is hip hop. Number two is country music, and dance music is on kind of the back burner.
And
I talked to friends in Europe, and they're like, we want it.
Ooh, we want it. Music.
They want it. You know, and that's where, and we see in our algorithms and we see from our streams, you know, Australia and the UK are like where our top streams are coming from.
Yeah. So
it's like, okay, we need to get this going over there. We just need to figure out how it's going to work. And I talked to friends that were in rock bands, and they all said that, you know, oh, we had a booker. And
well, actually, anytime we talk to anyone, they're like, no, you want US streams, it pays more. I was like, okay, follow the money. No,
let's follow the passion and find our tribe. Yeah.
Cause once you found your tribe, the rest of it will fall in suit. But I mean, what I did here as well, when I was starting out, I mean, obviously I've got my EPK, is I translated my bio into French. So I've got a French version and an English version. So if I was sending through my EPK to a particular venue that I knew was just only French, because there's quite a few English venues around here as well, I would send them the French version, and I got my friend to check it out. But normally I Google Translate. Well, I mean, I can speak French. My writing is not great. I Google Translate what I want to say. I put the English underneath. And then I also put at the bottom, oh, you know, please excuse me. My French grammar isn't that great. And I get a good response back, and generally I'll get an English response back or a French, and I'll translate. But yeah, I think if you know a little bit, or you make a little bit of an effort, it goes such a long way. And that's just life in general, isn't it? And if you're going to be all arrogant and like, I mean, that's not you girls anyway, but oh, I don't speak the language. Oh, I don't understand you and all that other all that other gump.
Self-absorbed then, type of personality.
Yeah, then, yeah, you know, definitely. Move over, get out the way, because there's plenty of people that will make the effort and put the right foot forward. But I think you guys would be fabulous in Europe. It would be amazing. Be amazing. Come to the French Alps.
Learning people's names goes a long way too. Yeah. We learned even safety wise when you're traveling, like if you feel sketched out from someone, if you kind of like bond with the sketchy person.
Yeah, these guys tried breaking into our bus while we were in it.
Wow.
And
like, hello, and we're still here.
Yeah.
There's two people. One was trying to open the doors and the other one is trying to talk to me and in the driver's side, you know, to see how many people are in the bus.
Yeah. So I just was like, you know, Kristen can talk her way out of anything. When the muscle needs to come, like, I'm ready, you know? And so it was nice. We had our dog with us and she was going, we let her go nuts for a little while to show her. Cause she's got for being a standard poodle, she's got a big bark, you know? And so, I mean, Kristen kind of talked our way through it. And what was the easiest part was she learned their names. And then she said, hey, what is my name? Remember, I'm a human over here. What is my name? This is your name, you know? And so
act like you're on the same team.
Yeah.
Not against each other.
Yeah. And they were just, you know, out clucking, you know, that was, you know, probably, you know, living under a viaduct and looking for the fix for the night, you know, and, you know, it was like, it was kind of nervous, you know?
Yeah, when someone's opening your back door and then
trying to, you feel the bus shaking, someone trying to get in, you know, or two women on the road. And, you know, we have like a baseball bat and, you know, stuff with us if we need it, which I don't think we'll ever need it. I'm not putting it in the universe that we will ever need it. Mm-hmm. It's just there.
That's probably the only experience we've had like that. So out of like the kabillions of experience, you know?
Yeah. And
it's crazy.
We were just parked on the side of the road and
They even came back and because I talked them out of it. I had to talk them out of it twice.
Yeah. And then finally we're like, okay, let's leave. Yeah. You know,
it's funny. I was living in a camper van for about 8 years, like a motorhome. And I also have a bat. Not that I've ever had to use it. And I've got two dogs as well. But, you know, it's just that you're women, isn't it? Like I was a single woman with two dogs and a baseball bat and a motorhome. You're on tour in a van parked up in a dodgy area. You just never really know, do you?
Yeah. Our hair just, you know, has people following it like Mozart's flute. I don't know.
So that's where we've been trying to manifest that, you know, we take a 2-week barge, you know, to Europe. We bring our bus with us. We're attached to this bus.
Apparently
we don't need to see that.
It would just be, it would be nice to have a way of transporting versus flying, you know. Then we could bring a little bit of equipment with us and we wouldn't have to rent equipment while we're places, you know, with Kristen DJ, she could just plug in a USB. Yeah. You know, I could travel, I could have like a microphone, you know, a pedal and a little drum machine, but you know, it'd be kind of nice. I mean, depending on the gig,
we just got a little attached to that bus.
It is. It's just, you know,
it's having a traveling green room.
I mean, what you're saying basically is like a 6-month tour, pretty much is what you're saying, right? Bring all your stuff, bring your dog and the van. Let's go.
We want it. We want it. And that's where we're going to start. I think as of today, you know, after I make the press release, I'm going to go ahead and start getting some gigs booked here. And now we want to try to kind of make it where we just leave for the winters. Chicago is a really dreary place to be in. And it's a place, you know, because we live in cold weather, like we get a lot of work done. So I'm grateful for that.
That's why a lot of music comes out pretty good here. I think everyone's got a long winter to use to sit and, you know, mope around and put some stuff. Good stuff on Logic or whatever you use, Pro Tools.
But we're figuring it out. You know, we would love to like find ways. We're trying to meet more and more people, you know, and kind of collaborate if we could put together shows. And if we could get, you know, you and, you know, if there was even a couple of us and we were able to travel together from city to city, if even in our own modes of transportation, but do a tour together, that's how rock bands do it, you know, and I try to take my rock background and like bring it to the dance scene. And Kristen's really great with, you know, with the DJ scene, you know, and understanding how they work. And it's not foreign in the DJ scene to be your own booker, your, you know, your own label, your
master
own everything.
Engineer, everything.
All in one.
And with these remixes coming out, you know, that's, you know, I'm really excited about it, especially this one in the UK. I really want to push it. And kind of coming forward, we're gonna do a little bit more with the album. We're gonna market it a little bit more, that we're gonna do these slowed down, stripped down versions of the songs where Kristen's playing piano and synthesizers, and I'm playing guitar, drums, and vocals. And
yeah, I mean, because that all kind of started accidentally too. We're gonna, with our new pile of YouTubes that we plan, these stripped down, slow tempo versions of our songs, just because when we noticed that accidentally while performing live, Des would add a couple chords, you know, in places that where they're not in the recording. I'm like, man, that sounds really good as it, like, at just, that's it. Not, no backtracks. It sounds really good of her, just the strum. And then, you know, it sounds really, we have this antique piano that I really want to mic up, and I must mic it up, you know, just because I don't know. I just have an addiction to micing stuff up and seeing how cool it sounds. It's a reverb. I'm also obsessed with reverb. So we're going to do that in a slower tempo because I don't know. They're really emotional songs. We should just pull more out.
Yeah. So what we're like, how I kind of view it is like, you know, we have a couple of videographers that are going to come and film, and we're going to do this in June. And so we're kind of like creating, here's a set for like a sitting down environment that you want to watch a band.
Yeah.
Here's a set that's, you know, good for a venue, and we just need to make visual representation. And then once these remixes, we come in, I think
then we're doing the high tempo club.
This week, we're going to kind of put together, you know, a club set. And then when we book a bigger, now that we're able to start booking again, we'll book another gig. We'll grab a videographers and say, okay, get our DJ set.
Yeah.
And now we have good visual representation when we send, you know, because when we booked Florida, I was sending music videos because I didn't want to send the live streams. Like, the energy wasn't there. You know,
we played trivia throughout our entire live stream. It was like a 2.5 hour live stream.
Our concert release.
Oh, you have to figure out where we're performing. It's, you know, I mean, that was the only way to keep the attention span. I mean,
and keep up the algorithms and keep people commenting.
We had 600 comments.
And it worked, you know, but it was something that would kind of work once. And it was our album release. So we'd play three songs and then we'd do a 5 questions music trivia. 3 songs, 5 questions.
Brilliant.
And a lightning round.
Yeah, because the comments really help the algorithm. So you need people to be interactive with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like Dora the Explorer. Like, how about you, Diego?
Waiting for the internet to respond. You know what I mean? So that worked out. And so that's where, like, that's kind of our goal now is let's get our visual representation.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and now we can just really pinpoint, all right, here's this gig. We're not, you know, necessarily open format DJs. We're, you know, we have a lot of original music. How can this be incorporated? And what's the music that we mix it with? And just give, here's visual representation. So that's what we're kind of concentrating on right now to like add to our press kits when, especially because, knock on wood, we're coming to Europe.
Yes. You know,
yeah.
Yes. It's going to happen. We've been manifesting it for far too long for it not to happen. I see it in my mind's eye.
This world is too big for us to stay right here in our city.
Yeah.
It'd be
so much fun as well. I mean, good Lord. Could you imagine?
And if you want to come and play some shows, we could set up a tour in America, you know.
Yeah. We'll make something happen. Once we get out of this whole like fun sponge pandemic with all these weird like travel restrictions, then yeah, game. Yeah. Make something happen. So ladies, let's, if you've got any advice for up and coming women in the industry, what would it be?
I got this, at least for my end.
Okay. You can do one.
For a long time, I took things too seriously. I was trying to
stressful
figure out, you know, and, you know, with our tours and I wanted everything to be perfect. And, you know, I would kind of get down on myself of, you know, like, oh, you know, we need to market more. We need to do this and we need to do that. And finally, I'm like, you know what? It's about having fun.
Yeah.
It's literally what comes first. It's fun. And if it's not fun anymore, then you need to step back and look at it and figure out why it's not fun. Because 90% of the time, you're the one making it not fun. So that's a big thing where I finally am to the point where it's like, I just don't care. I don't care that our Instagram stories are showing us being weird. We are weird and we own it.
That same concept is what affected me so long and why we didn't release, not just because we're having too much fun going on tour, but it was the same reason why we never popped out any music for so long. Because I was so particular about how, what would be released. It must be the finest quality. And I didn't believe any of our equipment was up to par enough. I mean, you need the $1,000 mic pre and this and that. And then the $1,000 mic with $1,000 mic pre, which so then instead we decided to research harder. And I think and I just put everything aside, all that stress, and just like, you know, let's do hi-fi and a lo-fi budget. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's what the album is. It's like two cheap microphones equals one expensive microphones with the right EQ.
Yeah. And the right vibe. That's what it's all about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Hey, a ribbon mic with a broken ribbon. That's all right. It still sounds good.
That is a great bit of advice. Ladies, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. It's like, it's always great to chat to you, see your lovely little faces.
You too. You got such good vibes. We're coming. We're going to play some shows together. It's going to happen. You're far too much fun for us not to meet you in real life.
Just to come everywhere. We're going to go to Fiji and this, to the beach. That's why we made Fiji. We're just like, gotta go to the beach.
Watch this space. World domination is happening soon,
Oh yes, Pinky in the green.
So awesome talking with you. Lovely. Thanks again, ladies. We'll chat soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate, and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love, and good vibes always. See you next week.